What a joy to be together. I've been asked to speak on maturity, and I thought, well, I'll find somebody who's mature and see if they can do this. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Thank you, Adam. So we're going to continue with 1 Corinthians, because as I was reading the next two chapters and working on them, and then the request came for a lesson on maturity, kind of the how and the what of being mature, there are so many things jumped out at me out of these two chapters. And so we're going to kind of skim through 1 Corinthians 8 and 9. We're going to look at them and grab some of the other principles out of them, because he's talking about some of the technical aspects of Christian faith versus pagan faith, and some of the aspects of how do you handle money in the church and those sorts of things. But interspersed in this is this attitude that Paul comes up with that I think is an awesome attitude for us to reach for in maturity. Let's begin and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. We just finished chapter 7, which is all about marriage, right? Concerning the things you wrote, and the first thing he writes about is marriage. And now he says, now concerning things sacrificed to idols. We told you that Corinth is a city with a lot of pagan religions, mainly because it has so many different types of people coming through the city. So many people are visiting in and out of, and it's dominated by this crossroads. And so it has all of the Greek religions and the Greek false gods and all of the Roman religions and the Roman false gods and the way they overlap. But then it's got all the Asian ideas coming in this way and the barbarian ideas coming down from Europe. And so it's a real a crossroads. And these young Christians are saying, what do we do with these questions? So he gets into the questions, but he talks about knowledge. Now, concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he is not yet known as he ought to know. That's the one Lauren used to repeat to us. If you think you know something, you don't know what you need to know. That's what it says. If you think you know, and I think it's a great place to start with the idea of maturity. If you think you know, back up and learn some more. There's a reason we revere the elderly among us. It's because the years produce knowledge and experience. And knowledge adds to this wealth of information that you use in life, and experience tells you that as you grow older, you learn less about what's going on than more. And I don't mean you get forgetful. I mean when you are a young person and you have this vision of, well, there's this knowledge out there, and I've got this much of it, but if I add to this and read these books or learn this stuff or go to this school, I can get more and more and more of this body of knowledge. And when you get out into life and you get married and you get a job and you begin to experience other things, you say, oh, wow, there's this knowledge. And I'm still kind of down right here. But if I learn and study and work with these people who know the business and get out and visit those countries, because they're really different than we are, then maybe I can get. And then as you go through life and you chew on some stuff and read on some stuff and look at the way people act and think about history, you realize there's this knowledge. And as you get older, you realize there's this knowledge. And as you stand up and look around from God's point of view, you go, oh my God. There's no end to knowledge. And I've gone from here to about here. And as I look around, I realize the older you get, the less you know you know. I mean, the more you know that you don't know. Did I say that right? Write it down and see if it makes sense. Stick, you got it? The more. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he is not yet known as he ought to know. So a good starting point for the confidence, and I'm serious about this, for the confidence of maturity is humility. God wants us to stand up strong and sure. But if we stand up strong and sure based on our own anything, we're not going to do so well. But if you stand up strong and sure and say, well, you know what, there's a lot of things I don't know, but I know who does. And he and I, let's keep reading. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. That's the very next verse. Therefore, concerning the things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. So the good starting point for a mature Christian life is that solid, healthy humility. Not the worldly humility of weakness and foolishness. I mean healthy humility. Humility is strong. Humility produces changed lives. The difference between arrogance and humility is powerful. Humility is a great strength in our lives. And then he takes us from humility and says, I want you to stand with the one God you know and the one Lord you know. So with God, you know your origin. From whom are all things? And from God, you know your purpose. And we exist for him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, he is our direction. He is the way. So from God we have origin, purpose, direction, and finally we exist through him. And you have strength. Now that's an awesome stability to build a life on. If you can establish in your mind the humbleness of trusting in God and not yourself, trusting in what he teaches you and not your own body of knowledge, and you can know where you're from, and you can know what you're for, and you can know who you're following in your direction, and you can know your strength, that's a great start. And that's just the introduction to who we are in God and Christ. Now, in the following verses, he uses the idea of soldier. He uses the idea of a farmer. He uses the idea of shepherd. And he finally, what Ahanu read for us, is he uses the idea of athlete to teach the principles he wants us to learn. The subject is food sacrificed to idol, and the next subject is money and the I don't want to say comforts, but the rights of an apostle. But I want to skip over the points of the subject and go to the attitude. Let's read verse 6 again. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. However, not all men have this knowledge. So we have work to do. You who are moms and dads, your work is to pass on that knowledge to those little ones God's given you. Those of you who have jobs and live with people on either side of you in neighborhoods, you have an opportunity in your walk to help others know the God that you know. You've been out this weekend buying food or diving into a savings or two. Well, you have an opportunity as you meet somebody to let them know your joy and your confidence comes because you know your Heavenly Father. You see, we now stand in this stronger place and look out and realize people don't know this. There's so much worry in the world. There's so much hand-wringing. There's so much cynicism and anguish in the world that Brady just walked out the room with my video that we're going to see at the end of this, so he's distracted me. Like, maybe we're not going to have a video clip at the end of this lesson. It was working before. But you know how I am with those things, so this might be a scripture coming from words and not images. I mean, a lesson coming with words and not images. Where was I? Not all men have this knowledge. Not all men have this knowledge. And then he goes on through 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, and talk about whether or not you eat food sacrificed to idol. What does that mean? What do you do with the weak person who's having a hard time with that? What do you do with the strong person who's going to be giving you a difficulty in that? And he finally ends up in verse 13. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will get on him until he understands better. That guy is kind of a pain. You know, it'd be a lot easier if everybody would just step it up. All right? Come on, folks. Let's just step it up. Quit being... That's not what he said. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I'm going to avoid him and stay away from him. He's not coming to my house. That's not what he said. That's what we do sometimes. But that's not what he said. If food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again. Paul, really? Yeah. I got it. You want a mature, and I can't help it, ladies, but I kept seeing this in this masculine answer for this thing. You see, that's what a man says. Put it on me. I got it. That's what maturity brings to you. I know where knowledge is, and I don't have it all. I don't have very much of it. I know where I'm from. I know what my purpose is. I know who I'm following, and I know my strength. Therefore, in this situation, don't worry about it. I got it. Put it on me. I will skip. I'll turn into a vegetarian if you need me to, so that you can walk with Christ. If this is going to cause someone else to trip up, you put it on me. I got it, he says, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. Chapter 9, verse 1 starts with, am I not free? Paul knows full well what his rights are. He knows full well that meat doesn't mean anything. He knows full well that he can just move on. That if he just taught that guy properly or get that guy to grow up some more, that Paul could continue with the nicer side of food. And then he gets into... don't we have the right to eat and drink, verse 4? Don't we have the right to take along a believing wife as the rest of the apostles? Finally he gets in. Don't we have the right to be paid to preach the gospel? He knows his rights. And he's actively defending the rights of others. But in verse 15 of chapter 9, he says, and I've used none of these things. So he puts the discomfort and the trouble on his shoulders. That's what strength does for you. Strength in Christ does not make us know our rights and demand our rights and stand on our rights. And You better get it right, because I know what I deserve. We pulled out Charlie Brown Christmas the other day. Ah, it's a cute little story. Enjoyed it, watched it, whatever night it was. Might have been Thanksgiving night or the night before, somewhere in there. And Charlie Brown's little sister, right, Sally? Sally, his little sister, yeah, Sally. I know I don't know much, but... And she says, I want you to write a letter to Santa Claus for me. You know, dear Santa, et cetera, how's Mrs. Claus? It's been a nice year. And she said, now pay attention, because I've got a long list here. And to her big brother, and Charlie Brown's looking at her, and finally she says, or you can skip the list and you can just send cash. Tens and twenties would be okay. And you remember the little scene, he throws the pencil and the paper up in the air and he says, tens and twenties, even my little sister. And she says, I only want what I deserve. I only want my fair share. I just want my part, what's mine. It's a cute little scene. But it's exactly the attitude that is really cutting through our society. I just want my fair share. Other people get the government check. I want my government check. Other people win the lottery. I want to win the lottery. Other people get the good jobs. I'm going to push people around until I get the job I want to get. Other people, I just want what I deserve. I just want my share. I just want what's for me. And Paul says that's not where walking in Christ brings us. Walking in Christ says, I give up my rights. I don't demand my fair share. But I need to defend myself. No, you don't. Excuse me just a second. Brady, there's another laptop back there. If that one's not cooperating, is it not going to be working? Okay, it's not going to be working. There's another laptop in the bag back there. We'll see. Paul says, I have used none of these things. Let's move down to verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I have used none of these things. Remember that thing he established back in 8, 7? Remember that idea he established back in 8, verse 7? Not all men have this knowledge. Not all men and women know. So Paul said of himself, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. That's not the pathway to maturity that we want to have. The pathway to maturity that we'd like God to tell us about is you know faith, yes. You got faith, yes. Okay, you come in faith. You know repentance, yes. You got repentance, yes. All right, you know obedience, you got obedience, yes. In obedience, you're baptized into Christ, yes. You know how to walk with Christ, I think so. Well, you follow him, and can I go to church? I'll sing. All right, now you're good. You're golden. All right, now it's maintenance time. And what you do is you just sort of stay at a maintenance level. You've believed, you've repented, you've confessed, you've been baptized, and now you just get into church and just skate. You know, now we're just on for the ride. Paul and Christ don't let us have that. He says, okay, now you're standing strong. I don't feel so strong. It's okay. Now you're standing strong. Now you can sacrifice yourself. What? You're free, right? Yeah. I'm free in Christ. Okay, now you get to be a slave to everybody. Huh? Now you get to serve others. Now you get to serve. The strength of Christ puts us in a place that we serve others. He goes on, to the Jews I became a Jew, as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those under the law, as under the law, though I myself not being under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, as though not being without the law, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by means save some. That's strength in Christ. That's confidence. That's a life with purpose. You know, Ephesians, if you keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 9, jump over to Ephesians 4. Even our jobs are places of strength that we use for others. Why do you have a job? Well, even the Bible says if you don't work, you shall not eat. Right, so you do have a job to support yourself, where you're responsible for your own care and income. Yes, all right, good. Why else do you have a job? Well, you got to take care of your family. But even the Bible says if you don't take care of your own, you're worse than an infidel. Right, you take care of your family with your job. Why do you have a job? Well, you have a job to apply yourself and kind of mirror serving Christ by working for your employer. Right, you honor your employer and you honor Christ by working for your employer like you work for Christ. Why else do you have a job? Something to do during the week?
To get money.
To get money. I get a lot of help today. This is awesome. Thank you so much. That's exactly right. Look at, it's just what do you do with the money? Look at Ephesians 4, verse 28. It starts out on the real negative, so you can chew on the why it's in this context. We're not going to talk about that much today. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good. Jobs are good. Do a good job. So that you will have something to share with the one who has need. So besides paying your own way, besides honoring Christ by working hard for your boss, besides taking care of your family, we are to work so that we can serve others. We ought to be ready with something benevolent to give to others around us as others have need. You know John 3:16? Do you know 1 John 3:16? 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You see, out of this strength, out of this maturity in Christ, out of this knowledge of who we are and how we're working in Christ, we are able to sacrifice. That's not a weak thing to do. That's a choice of great strength that we can sacrifice. Wives do it all the time. In sacrificing for their children, they get up late at night to take care of things. Get up early in the morning to take care of things. They carry the needs and the burdens of their homes on their backs and their families. That's the way masculine men do things, by taking the needs of their families on their backs and taking care of finances, taking care of the physical needs around their families, taking care of the protection and the comfort of their homes. And all of this comes from a basis of humility in God, comes from a basis of knowing where we're from, our origin, knowing what our purpose is, knowing what our pathway is, and knowing what our strength is. How do you get there? You do it through discipline. You do it by pushing yourself. Do you not know that those, verse 23, I don't want to skip that. 9:23, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker in it. Do you not know that those who run the race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim, and I box in such a way not as beating the air, but I discipline my body. I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Paul pushes himself and pushes himself and pushes himself. Throughout this whole partial section of Corinthians, he says, I put it on me. I don't demand my rights. I'll give up my comforts for other people. I'll become whatever somebody within Christ, I'll become whatever somebody needs me to be that they can know about Christ. And I do it through discipline. I think we might have a video.
It looks like it's up. This is a scene from Facing the Giants, a movie done from a Christian point of view a few years ago. It's about a high school football team. Yeah, about a high school football team. The coach, and everything in the coach's life is failing. His finances are lousy. His marriage isn't doing great. His team's not doing great. His relationship with the school is not doing great. And he's trying to get the team to understand the deeper qualities of life and why this effort for the team is worthwhile. Nathan, could you turn off this bank of lights right up here, please? So this lineman is on the field. That's it, that one. And there's a drill they have in which they carry another player on their back. Very symbolic, carrying somebody else's burden. Carrying another player on their back, and they're on their hands and toes, and they crawl down the field. And this guy says, I can't make it past the 50-yard line. About 50 yards, if I really, really, really push myself, that's all I'll ever do. And I can't remember the early part of the movie, whether they gave up or... But it was a big deal for him that he couldn't make it. He couldn't make it. And now the coach takes the team back out to the field. He puts a blindfold on Brock, hasn't put his buddy on his back, and this is the scene.
Good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does.
There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go.
Come on.
It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm out of the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. I'm just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on, keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm by his strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Go, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going. Go, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me your heart. You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Come on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, Brock. 2 more. 1 more.
It's got 50. It's got to be 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone.
For an athlete, all athletes that are successful have pushed themselves and pushed themselves and pushed themselves and pushed themselves. Christians who walk in Christ are the same. Paul says, I discipline my body to make it my slave. Christian maturity is never giving up and putting it on ourselves. Christ is my strength, therefore I can handle it. I'm never quitting. I am never giving up. I am never letting go of Christ. If I need to give up meat, I'll give up meat. If I need to give up time, what's time? What's sleep? What's money? I don't need any of those things. I need Christ. And if I need to give up these things of this world or any of my comfort so that others may know who Christ is, so that others may know this knowledge, the strength that God gives us says, put it on me. I see this metaphor in this clip as being what we owe for each other. Don't quit. You can do it. Don't quit. Keep pushing. You said you were following Christ for the rest of your life. Your life's not over yet. You keep going. You keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't ever quit following Christ. Don't ever quit serving others. That's a foundation for a mature walk in Christ. If any today have not been baptized into Christ, if you're ready today to start that walk, it might get real painful. It might be real hard on you. Christ never says it won't be. He says, I'll be with you every step of the way. And he promises he'll be with you forever in heaven. If any have that need or any other need that we can help you with, come forward while we stand and sing the song that's been sung.